Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. Today I'm going to be speaking with Megan Dane, whose play And Know That I Am God is having a series of developmental readings at The Road in North Hollywood. Megan is a native of East Texas and attended Mills College in Oakland and took a little bit of a detour through Rome before returning to USC to attend graduate school. She's currently a playwright in residence at the Road Theater in North Hollywood, where her plays Trespass, Women in Red, and Know That I Am God have received stage readings and a workshop production. Her first feature film, West of Redemption, was shot in Spokane last September and is currently in post-production. So welcome, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And Know That I Am God, without giving too much away, is about a young man trying to integrate two very different worlds, one of which is only in his mind or in his mind in video games, and one of which happens around him in his real life. So I wondered what the original impetus was to begin working with a character like Nate.
That's kind of a difficult question to answer without giving too much away, but I would say that that this was a character who I believed was largely misunderstood in our society, and I felt a connection with this type of person. And so I don't know. I suppose he's kind of a big part of me as well as a teenager. So I started writing in order to explore this character and hopefully help people understand him better.
Well, he's a pretty typical teenager. He's got school and video games. He's navigating teachers, parents, and even a little bit of a crush. So what for you makes him different from other kids?
Well, he has psychological problems. He is bipolar and has been misdiagnosed with as OCD ADHD, and because he's been misdiagnosed, he doesn't know what it is that makes him different or why he's struggling with these voices in his head and the energy surges and things like that, his racing thoughts. He doesn't know what they mean or how to deal with them.
He's also got quite a bit of an attachment to MMA, which I thought was an interesting idea to include, both in terms of the character development, but also in a play. It's such an external physical sport. So I wondered how that helped you flesh out Nate's internal life.
Well, it actually kind of came from these things are really these things are really hard to talk about without giving too much away about the play.
Right. But
it actually came from sort of an external source and a need to make something theatrical. And these types of characters, these types of boys, tend to have an interest in military matters, and they tend to have an interest in martial arts and martial arts discipline. It's very common. So I was incorporating the video game theme, and I thought, you know, it would be interesting to make it MMA because. Rather than other types of video game, because that way he could actually physically enact it on stage. And also there's a confrontation at the end of the play between him and his kind of arch nemesis, and it needed to be something that could be done on stage. Initially it was wrestling, but then I thought, you know, feeding back into what these boys' interests typically are, the MMA would work better.
And I would imagine also it would give you a lot of opportunities to play with movement on stage.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of fun, actually. I didn't anticipate how much fun it was going to be. Yes, we were very fortunate in that Jerry Kernian, who's playing the father and also the coach in the play, he's a fight choreographer and a fight coordinator as well. And so we got really lucky because he could just step in and say, and he knows MMA, so he could just step in and say, oh, yeah, this would work really well here. And we had a lot of fun putting those scenes together.
Perfect. I also wondered about the moment in the play where Nate strikes up a friendship with Morris. because this seems to kind of send Nate in a new direction as a character. So, mm-hmm. again, without giving too much away, and I know it's hard to talk about it without doing that, where is he headed, emotionally speaking, from that point forward in the play?
Well, I think that one of the problems that Nate experiences is that it's very difficult for him to form a genuine human connection. He has a tendency to either love or to hate. He idolizes the people that he likes. And so there's some element of Nate forming a real friendship there, but unfortunately he doesn't know how to form a real friendship. So he idolizes Morris and he turns him into this sort of godlike character in his mind. And then when things start to get a little shaky in the friendship, he doesn't know how to deal with that. So he has to essentially make a decision, love or hate.
It also seems that the recording of reality was an interesting way that you chose to flesh out the character. And I wondered about what part of that you felt maybe appealed to Nate, because his friendship with Morris is based in part on their mutual love of cameras. And it seemed like a way of doubling image in real life. So how do you see that? Is why it would appeal to Nate and how it adds to the theatrical experience of the play?
That's an interesting question. I think as far as his character goes, that plays back into his inability to make a connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
Having a camera gives him power because he can sort of judge the world through his camera lens. He can select things that he wants to see, and he can edit them, and he can perceive it the way that he wants to perceive it and kind of control it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as how it adds to the theatrical experience of the play, we're still in the workshop stages, and unfortunately it's pretty complicated to get a camera on stage with a wireless, you know, connection so that you can actually have a live feed.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't able to do that. We're just dealing with text projections at this point.
I see. Okay.
But I think it could be really, what I'm trying to do also is to, initially when I started working on this play, what I was working with was the effect of media and images and the bombardment of commercials and TV and internet and radio and all these things that we have coming at us all the time,
mm-hmm.
on a sensitive mind.
Okay.
And so the idea that I would really like to bring to life is how the physical, tangible world of what's going on with the characters in the play is sort of surrounded by these images. And so that's the idea of the video projections. And I think ideally it would create a certain mental state,
okay.
for the audience.
I see. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
So, yeah, I mean, that my hope is to be able to, by creating that state for the audience, to help them to better understand Nate's character.
Got it. And it seems to also be a way, I'm guessing from what you're saying, is that it seems to be a way of also reflecting his inner states, which are sometimes difficult to get outside in a theatrical world.
Yes, exactly. And this goes back into the bipolar element, that one of the characteristics of a bipolar person is that they tend to absorb a lot of information. They're not able to block out a lot of what's going on in the world around them. So as they absorb all this information, it just runs through their head at lightning speeds sometimes. And so in order to kind of replicate that, you know, I thought that we would try with the projections to do that.
Very cool. So I wanted to ask about the title of the play as well, because "And Know That I Am God" comes from a psalm in the Bible, "Be Still and Know That I Am God."
Mm-hmm.
So why did you also find both the connection between the psalm and Nate, but also why did you find this rich material to work with as it informed Nate's character. Just wondered why you found this aspect, both the very resonant title, and Know That I Am God, but also the fact that it is from the Bible. Why is that important for informing Nate's character, I guess?
Well, first of all, I think it's important because one of the things that motivates Nate is his sense of hypocrisy in the powers that be in the world. And he grows up in a community where church and God is very, very important. And so there's this sense of like, of this power being the Christian church and people's involvement with it, and how his perception of reality differs from what he's told is real. So that's kind of where the religious background comes in. As far as what I'm reaching for with that, I think this is something that I've actually learned through the workshopping process, is that I'm not quite getting there in the current draft of the play, but these characters typically have a God complex. That's one of the reasons why they ultimately do what they do. And initially I was, I had that psalm in my, or that verse in my head, be still and know that I am God. And the thought was that the lack of stillness in our society is basically contributes to an increase in narcissism and this God complex, the feeling that if there is no God, there is no stillness out there, there is no sense of awe at the universe, then we start to turn in on ourselves. And the lack of stillness, I think, is not as important to me as it was when I started out writing. But the God complex is much more so. So that's what I'm going to be working on bringing out in future drafts.
Wow, great. It really, really interesting set of ideas. Wow, okay. That will be interesting to see how you develop that going forward. I wanted to ask also about Emily Chase's role in this. Emily is the director of this series of readings and possibly your fully staged version when that takes place. And I just wondered what the process of working with her was like and how she helped or perhaps didn't have a role in the development of the play going forward.
Well, Emily was a great sort of counterbalance to me throughout the process. She started, we started working together on the initial stage reading of the play, which was at the Rhodes Theater's Summer Playwrights Festival last August, I believe it was, July or August. And then she continued to work with me on it throughout the workshop process. And she's very grounded and she's very practical. So this play was totally the opposite to begin with. And I just kind of let my imagination run wild. And she was continually asking me, okay, why does this happen here? Or, you know, trying to bring out the logic in things. And that was really helpful for me in this process because I had just gone off the deep end the other way. So there were a lot of things that didn't really make logical sense, but I just put them in there because they were fun or interesting or whatever to me at the time. And she helped me bring it back to earth somewhat.
Sweet. Well, lastly, I'd love to always ask people what they're working on next, or in your case, when we might be able to anticipate a full production of And Know That I Am God. Anything you can talk about now?
Unfortunately, I don't really know what's going to happen to the play next. There has been some interest from various parties, but I don't really know what that means. So I can't really comment on where that will go next. And my current labor of love is another play. Actually, it's a play that I wrote a couple of years ago, Trespass, which is mentioned in the bio, that I got a stage reading for, and I'm expanding it and planning to have another reading of that, hopefully in the again in the Road Theater's Summer Festival.
Great.
This coming year.
Great, excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today, and I hope the readings go great and that people, I'm going to tell everybody how to go and get a ticket in a second, but I hope everybody attends and sees the very interesting work that you're doing.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Allison. I really appreciate it.
And Know That I Am God runs at the Rhodes Theater in North Hollywood through January 28th on Monday, Tuesday, and Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. It's directed by Emily Chase and features Mark Jacobson, Susan Diol, Gabriel Green, Lena Green, Jerry Kernian, Mark LeClaire, Cynthia Merson, and Alex Smith. For more information about tickets, please visit www.aktiag.com/RSVP-4-the-show. Or you can just go to aktiag.com and learn more about the show, and then you can click on the RSVP link. So you can get your tickets by donation, and reservations can be made by using that link. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.